Hello, Conference USA fans. Welcome to another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Josh Jonas. We have another one of our football season preview episodes in store for you today. On this episode, we will be covering the UTEP Miners. We've got Brett Bloomquist, sports reporter for the El Paso Times, along with Jessica Radford from our staff joining us. A little bit later in the program, we will air our Media Day interview with head coach Scotty Walden, wide receiver Trey Goodman, and linebacker Maurice Westmoreland. And next week, we'll have our final two season preview episodes. Sorry, folks, it's coming to an end, but we will discuss the New Mexico State Aggies and WKU Hilltoppers, so be on the lookout for that. We'll be discussing two of the most highly anticipated quarterback battles in the conference. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon Music. As always, you can follow us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. Without further ado, let's jump into our UTEP Miner preview. All right, Miner fans, we are joined now by Brett Bloomquist, sports reporter at the El Paso Times, to talk a little UTEP football here in the middle of camp as we near the kickoff of the 2024 football season. Also joined by Jessica Radford from our staff. Brett, Jessica, thank you guys for joining the podcast.
Great to be here.
Awesome. Well, Brett, we'll kind of, you know, start a real easy one here. Obviously, new coach with Scotty Walden there, plenty of energy. What has he brought to that El Paso community, to the UTEP football program, as the Miners look to kind of get back on track this season?
Well, he certainly goes at 1,000 miles an hour. I mean, he made quite a first impression. You know, there was that when they introduced him before a volleyball match, and he's jumping around there trying to fire up the crowd. He later hanging his chest up and was there shirtless with the student section during a basketball game. So that kind of thing, I mean, it's quite a change, you know, the 34-year-old, and then, you know, before the previous coach, Dana Dimmel, kind of at a different point in his life. I kind of joked, first thing Dana Dimmel did was recruit his son to come be a fullback for him. First thing Scotty Walden did, he's got his wife there, his introductory press conference with their 3-year-old kid in their lap, so she was pregnant with the next one. So yeah, it's a generational change, and you know, a lot of energy and excitement right now. And then they had that great recruiting class that's kind of got people excited.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of talk about some of the different ways that he's displayed his high levels of energy. What are some of the differences in camp that you've seen? Are practices looking a little different? I know that I saw earlier that they're bringing back the Miner Shaft entrance for the home football game. So that'll certainly be a cool aspect to bring a little edge to the program.
Yeah, practices really do look different. Everything's kind of at a quicker tempo. There's quicker transitions between sessions. They also have to redo anything that they don't get right. And the result's been they've been having like 2.5-hour practices. So they've been a whole lot longer than they used to be. So, yeah, it looks different. It's louder. I mean, the coaches, this is a louder staff than the previous one. So you can hear them all over in it. It really does look completely different than anything there's been there before, but everything's going at a faster tempo now, which is sort of the theme of everything they do.
So this is basically made up of new players this year. You have him bringing in his players from Austin Peay. You have transfers and just those that has returned from last year's roster. So what has Scotty Walden done just to bring a culture, the buy-in to this, and bring them all together?
Well, at this point, this is largely his team. When first got there initially, a lot of players hit the transfer portal before he was hired. In fact, he took two of them back who had hit the transfer portal before he was hired. Then after he was hired, they wanted to come back and took them. At the end of spring, a number of players left, a number of the holdovers who'd given it a try for spring left. So you really do end up with a largely new team, including 11 players that were with him at Austin Peay last year, all of whom look like they're going to be pretty significant players. But yeah, I mean, he's got his guys around him now, and you know, the holdovers he does have bought in. I mean, I think that was sort of the weeding out at the end of spring. So yeah, I mean, he's pretty quickly put his stamp that this is his team. These are his players.
I was reading one of your scrimmage reports, from the past week, and you kind of talk about this quarterback competition that's going on. And, you know, one thing that jumped out was, you know, that he kind of mentioned that maybe he runs with a two quarterback system. And I know that, you know, kind of the famous saying is, you know, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. But, you know, how do you see that playing out? What kind of edge have you seen between one or the other through the first few weeks of camp?
Well, in the one scrimmage I saw in this judge with the spring game, I thought, you know, Cade McConnell was better in those two. This last scrimmage was actually closed, so I couldn't see it. But then it seems like more practices of Locklear, Skylar Locklear, the one who came with Walden from P, has kind of looked a little better. I think what he's going to do, he there will eventually be one quarterback, but the battle may go on into the opener against Nebraska and into the first part of the season. I wouldn't be surprised if he plays two quarterbacks in the opener as they just try to get one to separate from the other on the field. But I'm beginning to think that is the way it's going to go.
As Jess mentioned, there's a lot of new faces in this program. Who are some of the names that, you know, maybe are kind of flying under the radar right now that have stuck out in camp?
Well, Javon Jackson, who was an all-conference running back last year for Austin Peay. He's had a big camp. Xavier Smith, a safety, he's I think had a pretty strong camp. He's another one of those guys coming over from Peay. On the offensive line, Brennan Smith, another Peay transfer. It seems like every unit's about half Peay guys and half guys who were kind of backups last year. And then one name, and this one surely isn't flying under the radar, but I mean, you know, the guy who's just been as good as he's supposed to be is their one superstar who's back, Mo Westmoreland, Bruce Westmoreland. He was first team all conference last year. And he's kind of taken the leadership and he's become a Walden guy. So those are some kind of guys that leaped out to me.
What does it mean for a program to have a guy like Mo, especially in a time when you're transitioning coaches, you have a lot of new faces, to have someone like that to anchor around?
Yeah, and he's even, you know, I mean, he was always going to be the leader, but he really kind of taken on that mantle, and he's sort of the one who's kind of sits there and represents all the guys who have come back. You know, he's certainly the biggest one that came back. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly something. I think, you know, he has sort of one role in bringing the whole team together there as the returner, and all those P guys also have their own kind of leadership and knowing, you know, what Walden's like to kind of introduce their teammates to Walden in a way. But yeah, Westmoreland certainly stands there for the returnees, the leader of that group. And, you know, it has kind of helped bring everything together.
I saw your article about how UTEP has 20 players from El Paso. So I just wanted to ask you, what does that say about the community, the area, and the university itself?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is El Paso school. And, you know, I mean, this is the team that community rallies around. One brings them all together. And, you know, 20 actually is a pretty typical number. El Paso doesn't get recruited a lot. It doesn't have a reputation as a place that produces a lot of people. And that starts to change a little bit when you get people like Aaron Jones out there, you know, from El Paso. But, yeah, I mean, there's so much pride in those guys. And that's just something you hear everybody say. You know, it means more to them because this is the school they've grown up with. You know, all these kids were there, you know, telling me, talking about watching UTEP play OU in the Sun Bowl a decade ago. And it all just means so much to them. It's so neat to see them out there. A few of them really are going to be playing pretty significant roles. El Paso tends to get under-recruited, and sometimes UTEP can get some hidden gems out this way and from El Paso, and I think they probably have a few right now.
One of the things that stuck out as we were preparing for Media Day and kind of talking about some of the new, you know, what the new regime was going to be bringing in, the orange swarm defense. So kind of that idea of wanting all, you know, 11 hats on the ball on a play. Have you seen that kind of take effect in practices so far?
Yeah. You know, the defense, from everything I understood at yesterday's scrimmage, was a little behind the offense at the beginning and then kind of caught up as it went on. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly a different defense. One thing they're doing is, you know, Mo Westmoreland might technically be a linebacker in this. He's still an edge rusher, but they call it a bandit, which if it's a 3-3-5, that's a linebacker. But the idea is just to get him playing all over the field more, you know, take your best player and put him everywhere you can put him. And yeah, it is different. I mean, it's not as profound as the difference in offense, you know, now when they're trying to snap the ball over 12 seconds instead of trying to, you know, hold the ball for 35 minutes a game. But yeah, the defense, it is a change. It is, it, like everything they do, it seems like it's at a faster tempo.
Looking at the schedule, you talked about the opener in Nebraska. Certainly, you know, has his work cut out for him in his debut. But as you look down the schedule, what are some of the games that you're really looking forward to that are jumping out at you?
Well, I think when they get into conference, just that Southern Utah game, that'll be the home opener, and you know, the Walden's first home game. It seems like one of the games on the schedule that they could really be competitive in. And then, you know, kind of looking down the road, you kind of look at, you know, Sam Houston as they maybe start to develop a little bit of a rivalry with them, you know, as an in-state school. And, you know, that's someone they beat last year, so they're probably going to feel some confidence there. And, of course, you know, first ever meeting with Kennesaw State. I mean, I'm just kind of circling ones where they might actually be favored or maybe not as big an underdog as they're going to be against Nebraska. But, yeah, you know, I think when they get into conference, I guess the big question is, how good are all those P guys and the other FCS transfers? How's that going to compare, stack up to Conference USA? And, you know, so that's going to be sort of interesting to find out. And, of course, a Thanksgiving game with New Mexico State. I think everybody was so happy to get that game on Thanksgiving weekend, the big rivalry game, which is kind of where it should be. So that's probably the one everybody's looking the most forward to.
As we just talked about the schedule, what should Miners fans or just Conference USA fans as a whole look forward to the most this season?
Well, it's going to be, I mean, there's such a culture change, and it's just going to be interesting to see what kind of shape that takes here, you know, kind of this season. It's, you know, first season under Walden, but everything they're going to be doing is so different, such a change from the past. And it's just, you know, how's that going to go? You know, somebody described me Walden is all gas, no brakes. And it's sort of always fun to see what that's going to mean once the season gets going.
Awesome. Well, Brett, we really appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk some UTEP football. You know, we're really looking forward to, you know, there's obviously a lot of newness in the league, you know, a handful of new coaches, bringing in Kennesaw State to the league, and just lots of new stuff around college athletics. So we're looking forward to that first game at Nebraska, and you know, best of luck to yourself as well. I know that, you know, even the beat writers, it's a grind. So thank you again for taking the time this afternoon.
All right, take care. Have fun.
Guys, welcome back to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA, coming at you live from Frisco, Texas, the PGA of America headquarters here for Conference USA Football Media Day. I have the UTEP Miners with me. We've got three people in here. It's a tiny room and it's a lot of noise, but we're going to have some fun. I've got head coach Scotty Walden in his first year at the head of the Miners program with us. Trey Goodman, wide receiver as well. And then Woe Westmoreland is what your name is now. Mo Westmoreland, defensive end. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what quarterbacks say when he comes off the edge and say, whoa.
It's not a wrong new, you know what I mean, right there.
Nickname for you. That's all I want.
Yeah, that's an NIL deal.
There you go.
Mo.
There it is. All right. Okay. Now I need some credit. There it
goes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Inside our sources.
All right. Sure. Perfect. Perfect. Well, nice. I hope you guys have had fun so far today. But we're going to jump in right with a fun question, okay? Locker room vibes. I know there are some. Tell me about the vibes in the UTEP locker room this year, now that you are under the provision of a new head coach who happens to have some vibes of his own.
New locker room. I say our locker room is an exact representation of what Coach Walden is. You know, I feel like everybody comes in, you know, day in, working. And then, you know, once we're done with that, we have fun. We like to have fun. Like, crazy, all over the place. Yeah.
What about you? You got anything different from that, Trey?
Yeah. I think you said it really well. A lot of times, you know, we hang out and we have a good relationship with our guys. But, you know, when we have times where we're celebrating, we throw down. We celebrate. So,
yeah,
we definitely have a good time in there. You know, got a good group of guys, band of brothers. And then also, we clean up after because, you know, we got to keep our house sacred. So, but, well, man, I mean, it's awesome, you know, just being around the team, having a good time.
Awesome. Well, obviously, year one under a new head coach, some things have changed a little bit. Trey, obviously, you came over from Austin Peay,
right,
with Coach Walden, but Mo, what made you say, yep, I'm going to stick with UTEP after Coach Walden got in the locker room and talked to you guys, and you're here a minor again?
Pretty much, yeah. Like I said, that first meeting we ever had, he said something to me that meant a lot. He said UTEP's a destination, not a pit stop. Mm-hmm. And after that, I was locked in with Coach Walden.
That's awesome. I think that people were not as let me rephrase. You may have not been as well known to some people last year because there was another guy on the defensive side of the ball that got a lot of publicity around the country. Yeah, but you had a great season last year. Excited to see what you can do on the field again this year. So, how's the off season been? Are you excited for camp next week? Tell me a little bit about that.
Real excited. You know, I mean, football's football. Your body gonna hurt, but you know, all the practices, all them lifts, all them runs. You know, it's gonna be a good for the long run.
Yeah. And then I know you've been getting your workout in because I'm correct me if I'm wrong. You told me he bikes everywhere. Is this true?
Yeah.
So you're getting your cardio in all the time.
All the time, e-bike.
E-bike is e-bike. Just all that. E-bike. Get your cardio in. How does an e-bike work?
So
like, tell me, is it a motor?
So you can pedal if you want.
Okay.
And you can. I do both. So it's still like a little burn in my legs. Yeah, still a little burn in my legs. So
okay.
So I'm driving down Mesa, which is the main road right in front of everybody, and I've seen this dude twice, and I've tried. He don't know it. He didn't see me, but he's coming the other way. I'm trying to roll down my window to slow down. I need it. Okay. We're living on those bikes. Don't get hurt. Keep them in body wrap. Put a helmet on.
They're fast too.
Oh man! So once the season starts, are you going to keep doing that? Because I don't know if Coach Walden's going to be okay with that.
I'm going to watch it close. Yeah. All right, we'll be watching it.
Well, Trey, it's your first year as a minor. You got to play in the spring game. You got to experience the Sun Bowl in that respect. But there's something different about a night game in the Sun Bowl. Are you looking forward to that?
I am, man. I honestly love night games, and I haven't played in a whole bunch in my college career. But every time that I played in a night game, it's been absolutely electrifying. And I can't even imagine what the Sun Bowl is going to be like. I mean, like you said, our spring game, it was awesome. We had around 3,500 people there, and you had a bunch of alumni. The biggest part was he had so many alumni come back, you know, names that I didn't actually know went to UTEP. And there were a lot of people around, and it kind of, you know, really got me excited and it gave me chills a little bit. It got me excited because, I mean, I've been here for 4 or 5 months, you know, head coach just got here, and we already got all this support. And I'm like, man, imagine what's going to happen, you know, when we actually are able to put a product on the field that people want to see. And then they tell a friend, and they tell a friend, and they tell a friend. Then next thing you know, we got the thing packed out, and we got people sitting on the rocks trying to watch the Miners play.
Yeah. What do you think about the Sun Bowl, Mo?
Our first game, it was against North Texas. I was walking down the steps, and Sun Bowl's full. I got chills, got nervous. Like, oh, my gosh. Like, this is really a place to be.
Yeah.
A place to be, seriously.
It's a cool stadium, y'all.
Top of the country. Yeah.
It is. It is one of the best, if not the best. There, we had a guy on the show early on, once the show started, who has been to every football stadium in America, and it is his absolute favorite. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
No surprise there.
Yeah, it is. It is a good one. Yes, for sure. Well, tell me a little bit about the fans there in El Paso, the buy-in that you guys have for the minor program, just the brand name there in El Paso. Tell me about that and the kind of your involvement there in the community.
Yeah. So my experience so far has been nothing outside of extraordinary, because before I actually was committed. So when I came on my official visit and we went to Dave & Buster's, we were with the coaches and we were shooting around hoops at Dave & Buster's around with the coaches and the other recruits. And there was a family that walked by, and they had on a UTEP polo, the Adidas shoes, and he had a son with him and his wife, and they were holding hands. And I'm like, oh, you guys play for the Miners? Like, yeah, they were so excited to see us. And we were like, not yet. You know, we're still, you know, making our decision and recruiting. He was like, oh, you guys got to come here. You guys got to come here. And so, just saying all that to say that, like, the community is so behind us. You know, for someone who is a newcomer who just got to the school and interacting with people in, you know, just not only El Paso, but people coming across the border from Mexico, from Juarez. I mean, they are so, like, behind us, and they support us, and they support the community, you know, and they really, that's all they want. They really just want something to support. So being around them, and I got to touch up on my Spanish. I've been working on it, but
okay.
but communicating with them and, you know, seeing them as people, it's been awesome, man. I mean, it's plays like no other.
I have to ask you about the bling on your hand. No one can see. Well, which one? That's right. Good on you, sir. No one can see this. This is audio only. He's got a wedding ring on one hand and giant championship rings on the other. So why don't you explain all three to me?
All three? You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't start off with my... my beautiful wife, Molly. We've been married... it'll be 2 months tomorrow, actually.
Our congratulations.
We were dating for about 2.5-3 years before that. So she's back home probably watching, you know, the press conferences and said. So like I said, we just got married and we got a beautiful little girl on the way. She'll be here in September.
Awesome.
Our daughter, Genesis, the first of, we'll see how many. But so, yeah, that's my lady. And then we have the first one, 2022. Conference champions, co-conference champions with a couple other schools. And then we have the big one, which is a little heavier. You know, it's naturally it's a little heavier.
Mm-hmm.
It's outright. This one really is really important to us because we dedicated their not only this ring, but our season. It's a podcast. But if you see right here, it says JC16, one of our former teammates. He passed away in a tragic car accident right before the season started. And, man, he was an awesome kid. He was a phenomenal player. He was a freshman giving me problems. This is my junior year when I think I know a little something. And even better guy off the field, you know, just energy to be just a great soul. And so when he passed away, you know, it hit us hard. And, you know, it just gave us, you know, a little bit more to play for. It's a little passionate. And so this is 2023. We went back to back. And so that's why I wear them on both. And then the gold ones, like I said, the first one, the black and red one, you know, we got that back to back. So these things weigh my hand down a little bit. I got to take them off from time to time. But any chance I get, I show them.
Yeah, absolutely. Coach, I'll ask you this. What does it mean to you to be able to have Trey in the locker room with you, having won those conference championships with him? Obviously, UTEP has some new faces and some old faces, but I know it probably has to mean a lot to you that Trey is part of your locker room this year.
It definitely does. I mean, it means the world to have Trey, to have Mo. I mean, you know, the thing, you know, that I told the guys, you know, when we first got the team together was, you know, no matter where you came from, whether you came from Austin Peay, you came from wherever else in the portal, or you were on the roster last year, like, we're all minors now, you know, and we're all one, and we got to unify as one. But to have a leader such as Trey and a leader such as Mo that leads our program with integrity, and that's why they're here today. You know, there's not two better ambassadors of our program than these two guys right here. But to have that you know, leadership in the locker room. You know, these guys, they know how to work hard. I think they epitomize the locker room perfectly. You know, they know how to work hard, but they also know how to play hard and in a good way. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, good chemistry in the locker room. I think our team, I'm so thankful for, you know, you look at a guy like Maurice, like, you know, he had a lot of options, you know, a lot of people after him to leave, and he decided to stay and be a minor, finish as a minor. That means the world to my heart. That means the world to me, that loyalty, that you know, I want to, you know, and then it means the world to me that a guy like Trey Goodman, you know, from Atlanta, Georgia, came all the trust in me to come all the way out to West Texas, right, in El Paso, a place he'd never been before, never heard of, right? Like, that's why I get up in the morning and want to fight to build the best plan, do the best job I can to give them, you know, a plan that they can go execute and we can go win games and, you know, hopefully, you know, put some more rings on their finger, you know, and that's what we want to do. And so I'm really just appreciative of all of our squad. The buy-in has been awesome. And just, you know, I really appreciate the guys who have just jumped in the, you know, we talk about not toe dipping, you know, you get two people to go to the swimming pool, you know, you got one person goes and kind of touches it, fills that water out. And you got some people just take that towel off and jump in. And these two guys, along with our team, have taken that towel off and they jumped in the pool and we're swimming and we're building, fighting every day to build respect for our program. And so I couldn't be more thankful.
It's awesome. You said something and I have to now ask your players about it. So Coach Walden has some different sayings and things that he does. He just said, don't go toe dipping. That was one of them. I want to hear some others. Do you have, like, are there some that he says a lot or that he said one time and you're like, yep, that's going to stick with me. That one's going to stick with me.
A lot of them are pretty much like culture based.
Okay.
Like, unity is a secret. You know, how you do something is how you do everything. Let me think. I got to think of something funny.
I'm going to get it tenfold. I'm going to just out it in the brain.
Yes.
Hey, you better come out with the going. I'm going to keep considering them on you.
Oh, man.
Let me think.
Toe dip is my favorite one.
The toe dip is your favorite.
You can use that in any situation in life, like anything.
True.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's fact.
All in. All in, yep.
Yeah, there's the brand of UTEP is definitely changing in a good way. It's definitely it's being molded differently. But you mentioned it before. There were some guys that came back to spring game and you were like, man, I didn't even realize that he played at UTEP. And so trying to make UTEP a more national brand, I know that that's something, Coach Walden, that you talk about a lot. But one of the things that helps with that from a conference perspective is we get to do these weekday games, which first year it was like, oh gosh, what are we, how is this going to go? But we're on national television in the month of October, weekday games. So from a player's perspective, and Mo, you just went through it, so maybe you can speak to this a little bit more, but what's it like doing a weekday game under the lights live on national television, and you get to watch football on Saturdays still?
Yes. You know, it's much different. You know, everybody's just playing Friday, Saturday, you know, but weekday games, I feel like, because all the spotlight's on you, so you really get to, you know, have your team come out, you know, put on the best performance they can, you know, they can put.
Yeah. You looking forward to it?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
I am too. I always talk to one of my best friends. We talk about, he plays football at Texas Tech now, but we always talk about how on Saturdays we can never watch each other and we can never watch football because, you know, naturally, you know, in pregame, you might speak a game here and there, but at the end of the day, you got to be thinking about your game plan, focus on yourself. And so, we always be like, anytime we update, it's like, how you doing today? How'd you do? Da da da. Didn't get to watch. I check the updates, but like, I can watch a lot of my friends play now because a lot of my friends play for other schools and they play on Saturdays. You know, I'm gonna have my subscriptions ready, whether that's, you know, Hulu, ESPN Plus, Peacock. It doesn't matter. I'm gonna be ready. So I'm just excited. I'm gonna have my little girl strapped in my test, and I'm gonna be watching my boys play.
So oh, that's awesome! Excited, that is so so cool. Well, guys, I really appreciate you for joining us. We're getting close to closing out on our time together here, so I want to ask some more fun questions. So my first one is a locker room question, and Coach, you can weigh in on this too. Who is the funniest guy in the UTEP locker room?
I think we may all have the same one.
Yeah, I think I know who mine is.
I'm trying to think.
Mo looks like he's struggling to think of who it is.
Funniest guy in the locker room. For me, I'm going to say K-Chap. I would probably say Corey. He played football.
I mean, 100% what I was going to say.
Yeah.
1,000% what I was going to say. Corey, nice. He's classic. I mean, even like as a coach, it's fun to coach guys like that because even if, you know, you're having a rough day, serious, he'll put a smile on your face.
Yeah, nice. No matter what.
Funny, you know, he's hilarious.
No matter what.
Well, I also have to ask the flip side of that question, although knowing the guys that you have on that team and the guys that you have coaching that team, I don't know if this one will even be somebody, but who's too serious? Who needs to lighten up a little bit? I feel like it's hard to do with the personalities that are around.
Too serious? I don't know. I mean, I feel like we all have a pretty good balance.
Yeah. Like locked in. Yeah.
They know how to turn this
be locked on. In sometimes.
Do a good job with that. I don't really feel like no one sticks out, you know. I mean, hey, they'd probably say if I was out there, they'd probably say me too, but I got loose up in practice sometime. But you know, these guys do a great job of being you said, Kylie, it goes back to your first question about the locker room. When it's time to work, these dudes work, man.
Yeah.
That's the thing I love about our team is they work. We've had such a good summer, just how hard these guys working, but then you know, hey, when practice is over and stuff like that, man, the camaraderie. I don't hear them in the locker room because right now we're displaced. Right now, we're building our new locker room.
Right.
But I hear them in that weight room all the time. You know?
The nation has heard you in the weight room. Also, I've seen videos of a certain coach jumping off of a certain table.
Yeah. I really appreciate these guys catching me there.
Oh yeah, we got you back.
My Blue Cross Blue Shield. I got good insurance, but I don't want to use it.
No. All right, guys. Final question for you. I have already asked Coach. He can still weigh in on this. I asked him last week, but we do a segment here on CUSA Insider called CUSA Eats. I myself am a very big foodie. I love food. And I want to know what I need to come eat when I come visit El Paso and other fans across the country that are coming to visit El Paso. Where do we go get a bite to eat?
Place called Little Shack is right there by the Sun Bowl.
Okay.
Little Shack. I love that place.
What does Little Shack have?
They got seafood tacos.
But okay.
Go for the taco. They're called Fiesta Tacos. Fiesta and Baja Tacos. Best tacos in the world.
All right. Love it.
The Baja.
Yeah, me too. I haven't been there. Good. Little Shack?
Yeah. I go there like twice a week.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
On your e-bike.
I would say.
On your e-bike, for sure.
I would say my go-to place is, it's on Mesa, and honestly, probably as close to it, but it's called New York Famous Deli.
God,
now,
man.
the thing about New York Famous Deli, they opened not too long ago, is right next to the Rib Hut. It's right by the stadium. The thing about them is you will walk in there and it's a true corner store. Like, it's a true convenience store.
Okay.
It looks like half of Walmart, half of Quick Trip, half of Buc-ee's, and then it looks like half of, you know, a normal restaurant. They have pretty much anything you can ask for. They're open at almost like all the time. They close at, I think, 11, and they open it around 8 or 9.
Okay.
So they got breakfast all day. They got smoothies. They got fruit. They've got whatever you want. Chopped cheese. They got wings, which I suggest the wings. The cheese sticks are good, too.
Okay.
They got burgers. They got anything you can ask for, and it is phenomenal. I love them. Tell them.
That's awesome.
Andy and Eli. Those are the workers. Andy and Eli, tell them Trey sent you.
Okay, got it. I feel like you need to go there.
I do. I need to have both these places, but did you think you get on this podcast, all right, and we're talking about El Paso, Texas, and we talk about a seafood place and a New York style.
Yeah.
Did you think
we
was like,
no, we didn't talk about that. No. You were a lot more on point with your, you said steak, and then there was a Mexican restaurant, then some steak place where you get to choose your own knives we talked about.
Yeah. Places under a 1,700 degrees, steakhouse in the yacht, L&J's, Kiki's.
Yeah.
Track one. You guys need track one.
Track wings, yeah.
Track one.
Track one.
That's the best wings I've had in my life.
Okay.
I'm being on him. I mean, Mo, you've been there, right?
Double dipped.
Double dipped. That's it, brother.
Double dipped, honey.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes, the secret menu. Yeah, we got to get that in here. Well,
real.
Guys.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
Man, this time, last time we talked, I think that I had not eaten lunch yet. This time I have, but I feel like I have room for some more wings now, because that sounds awesome. That sounds fantastic. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck in your first season, Coach Walden. Good luck to the Miners this year.
Excited to
see what you guys do in year one under Coach Walden, and go Miners.
That's right. Fix up.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Big thanks again to Brett Bloomquist and Jessica Radford for joining us on the front half of the show, and to Scotty Walden, Trey Goodman, and Maurice Westmoreland joining our second segment. As I mentioned at the top of the episode, we've got our final two preview episodes with New Mexico State coming out on Tuesday and WKU releasing on Thursday. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening so you never miss a new episode. And go ahead and follow us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. If you have any comments, concerns, recommendations, or just want to say hello, you can email us at CUSAInsiderPod@ConferenceUSA.com. We will catch up with you next week. You are listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA.